Hey, this is Darrell Revis, and this is the Jets Blog Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Podcast. I am your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Oh, man, it's been a while, Corey. Wow. It's
been a very, very long while. The welcome back and the welcome back to the Jets Blog Podcast phrase certainly has more meaning than normal.
Yeah, well, welcome back to our listeners. If you're still with us, if you haven't totally abandoned us or deleted us off your iPhone, it's cool. We understand. But the season is quickly approaching.
Training camp is already here. Admittedly, I'm aware. I'm planning for it, but like at the same on the same level, I'm also like completely getting ready for Rio as a happy NBC employee and the chaos that will reign for most of August. And it just completely snuck up on me. And now all of a sudden Sunday is when training camps start open. The Jets don't open till next week, but, there are some teams that open as early as this Sunday. And it blows my mind.
We are here. We're here. Regarding that, obviously, there is one Jets player who will be making his presence felt at training camp. There's not going to be a holdout, I cannot imagine, after what happened this week, right?
Yes, that is Muhammad Wilkerson, who has re-signed with the New York Jets at a deadline-beating deal last Friday. News leaked around 4:20, 4:30 after the 4 p.m. deadline to sign a deal as a franchise-tagged player. It is a 5-year, $86 million deal. The guarantees fluctuate depending on who you listen to and who you report and what salary is structured as bonus and what is structured as salary, and things can be changed to bonuses depending on what the Jets want to do. But the basic tenor of the deal is, I think we can start with the general sense of just relief, I think, from Jets fans and Jets, you know, probably writers too, although the Wilkerson saga has probably been the most underreported saga of the entire offseason, I would think.
You think with the Jets because of the being overshadowed by Fitzpatrick, is that what you're saying?
Fitzpatrick, Hackenberg.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We said the name. Whoops.
Only 3 minutes in. We're going to be talking plenty of Fitzpatrick today. We're going to try to have some fun with Fitzpatrick a little later, but we'll stick with Mo. But yeah, I think Fitzpatrick has overshadowed him. I think Christian Hackenberg certainly overshadowed him. And part of that is a tribute to both sides. I think, you know, the Jets and Wilkerson and Wilkerson's camp agent, PR people, however you want to structure it. You know, we didn't get, at least I didn't get emails about Muhammad Wilkerson Instagram posts telling me that this is up there now, like I did for Von Miller all offseason. So there were no leaks about people retiring instead of signing a contract. There were no "I'm willing to sit out the season" stories or Jets holding strong. It was just business as usual. Nobody talk, and then deal gets done at the deadline, which I think surprised a lot of people.
I think it did, but I think if you know, Muhammad Wilkerson even a little bit, or right, the fact that everything was just speculation, not even really rumors or who feels hurt or, whatever it was. I would say if there was any speculation, it was more on what the Jets, like the Jets front office was thinking. I think the fact that it seemed so buttoned up to me just gave the sense that this is not going to derail, his season or what he's going to do, be a no-show for extended period of training camp. Like he's a pretty, I'm sure he's wanted this deal for a long time, right?
Yes.
But he's pretty good at keeping his mouth shut, saying only what needs to be said, really not giving more, whatever breadcrumb trails to the press than they need. In that way, he's kind of like the team's younger version of DeBrickashaw Ferguson, maybe not exactly the same, but I mean, I kind of see those two in a similar light. Wouldn't you say?
I hear you. Yeah. He's the quiet leader. There are people that look up to him, specifically Sheldon Richardson and Leonard Williams. I imagine Daron Lee will as well. I imagine Jarvis Jenkins will. They're going to eventually Calvin Pryor as well. This is quickly becoming, and it pretty basically has this season, this is becoming a young man's defense. And you know, just as late as recent as last year, it was very old, whether it was Calvin Pace on the outside and it was slow. As 2 years ago, it was a very slow defense. Now we've got an infusion of speed at linebacker with Deron Lee, with Lorenzo Maldon, with Jarvis Jenkins. Muhammad Wilkerson is here long term. Sheldon Richardson is under contract for another 2 years, possibly three if they enact the franchise tag. Leonard Williams is entering his second year. They have some young guys on the line as well. And then Marcus Williams in the secondary. Calvin Pryor, you would assume, is probably the next defensive player to get locked up, would be my guess if you look at the salary structure. But it's a young defense. They have their leader in place now. But I think what I'm curious from your point of view is what changed? What do you think that the Jets and Wilkerson always planned to do this deal now? Do you think something changed at the last minute? I'm just curious about how we go from they're not talking, they're not talking, they're not talking to, oh, this deal's done with no middle ground whatsoever.
I mean, I think, you know, it also could have been that, you know, they were, like I said, like they were just keeping it very buttoned up and, you know, they kind of agreed like, let's agree to work on this deal, but we have to agree to not, you know, use the press, you know, as a weapon to get this done. We all want to get this done. I also wonder, I mean, I can't remember when Andrew Luck signed his contract, right? Like when
last
was that?
About a week and a half ago, about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
From today when we're taping Thursday, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. So but it was a little before Wilkerson's deal, right? A couple days, yes, or whatever. I don't know. You know, a week prior.
Fletcher Cox as well.
Right. And so I think when some of those deals started coming in, you know, I don't know what Wilkerson was asking for. I'm guessing it was maybe, you know, more than he ended up getting. That's generally the way it is. But when you start seeing deals like this is what Andrew Luck, the darling quarterback of the NFL, you know, for the Indianapolis Colts is getting, or this is what Fletcher Cox, who is a, you know, more comparable player than, let's say, Andrew Luck, it probably starts to set the expectations, you know, a little differently, because you can see things and make comparables, just like, yeah, if you're buying a house or whatever. So I do wonder if some of those things helped to accelerate the process, right? Like those things might have helped push that along, but I also think that both sides are savvy enough in terms of Wilkerson's agents and the Jets that they said, like, if we get this deal done, the only way we're going to get this deal done is if we're not spinning around with the press on this.
That's true.
And so right. So like I will say, yes, I was shocked. I was shocked it came at the deadline. I thought, you know, they're just going to see this through with the franchise year. But I think as they got closer and they realized, hey, we could really use this cap room to, you know, maybe pull in another player or two before the end of camp, and this is in our long-term interest. There's a lot of reasons why this works and makes sense. You know, like if you're going to pay anybody, pay this guy, right? I mean, he's done nothing but produce and be, you know, a model citizen since he's come into the league.
No, it's true. And part of the reason why people thought that there was a chance, at least that, or not a chance, essentially why people thought that there was no way that this deal was going to get done was because of the presence of Sheldon Richardson and because of the presence of Leonard Williams, and the fact that it seemed from all intents and purposes, from what we could read on the outside, was that the Jets were not willing to meet the price tag of Wilkerson, Ray, Fletcher Cox, Ray, some of these bigger deals that were getting done during the offseason for specifically for defensive linemen and interior defensive linemen. But I'm curious what you think this means for those guys, not necessarily Leonard Williams, but what do you think this means for Sheldon Richardson in relation to not just Wilkerson's contract, but the structure of Wilkerson's contract? You know, it's not a coincidence that the Jets essentially face a decision after 2 years when Richardson will be through his fifth option, his option year, and both right. will be Richardson will be either scheduled for unrestricted free agency or franchise tagged him.
Yeah, I agree. That is not a coincidence at all. And I think a lot of it comes back to, and we're going to, you know, talk about this in a little bit, but, you know, the Jets, remember when Russell Wilson was on his rookie contract and he was making, you know, nothing, you just peanuts compared to the other players on that team. I understand Ryan Fitzpatrick is in the mix here for this season. But if let's just say the Jets bomb out this year, get the first overall pick, and they pick a quarterback 1-1 next year, right? They don't have to pay that guy for like 4 years, really, anything substantial, right? So the point is, even if you draft your franchise quarterback a year from now, you're not going to have to pay that guy the Andrew Luck contract until well down the track, right? That's so far down the track. Like, the GM and the coach might not even be there anymore at that point. So the point is, and the reason I say that is, no one on this Jets team is going to get at the quarterback position, no matter how good they are, is going to get allocated to them an Andrew Luck style quarterback contract in the next 2 years, right? They're going to find a veteran, or they're going to find a rookie, to draft, and they're going to make him their guy. And so my point is, the quarterback position.
Christian Hackenberg.
Great. Awesome. Sweet. But my point here is, that's money they can allocate elsewhere. So they are freed up to spend deeply on their defensive line, which is by far the
biggest
strength.
But is that a good decision? But is that a wise use of resources? Is it a good decision to pay Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson when you have Leonard Williams? I'm sorry. I think at some point you have to choose, and I'm not saying you have to choose this year. But I don't think that it's a wise investment. I don't get the logic of paying three guys in your defensive line for term contracts unless you're going to work out a deal for Richardson and then cut Wilkerson after the third year of his deal, when you can essentially get out of it for about $6 million over 2 years.
Yeah, well, you're also forgetting Darrell Revis, who let's face it, is a great player. He had a bad year last year, and there was injuries involved, and that sort of thing.
It was a bad year. I would say he had a year
he had a down year. He had a non-Darrell Revis style year, right? And he's coming off, kind of two of his last 3 years have not been optimal years, because his year with the Bucs was not great. The Patriots misused him, for a period of time, but he obviously was a key part of them winning that Super Bowl. And then, he comes to the Jets, and he gets injured again. And I love Darrell Revis. He's one of my favorite players of all time, but it was not, he would not say that he had a good year, I think, if you kind of cornered him on it. And he's looking to improve on that. I mean, if you look at some of the things he puts on Instagram, or things, he kind of says publicly, he's clearly, spoiling for a much better year this year. And I love to see that. But my point is, other things will be reallocated by the time you need to make some of those decisions. And then also with that, the cap is accelerating so quickly because of the CBS deal, because of some of these, these recent deals. There's always going to be ways to spend money, but there's still going to be plenty of cap room, if they want to keep all three of those guys on the defensive line in 2 or 3 years' time, I think, to be quite honest.
I hear it. I it makes sense. Look, the finances you can make work, and the way they've structured it makes sense. And even if you look down the line, as you mentioned with Revis, he's eligible to be cut or restructured after this year. I mean, you can restructure him now, but if you don't restructure him, you can start to get out of that contract after the 2016 season, after the 2017 season, I'm sorry, or into the 2017 league year. If you want to go the next 2 years with Revis, you essentially can get out of that contract for nothing. If you make that a 3-year deal, that's pretty much all of the guaranteed money, and you get out of that for something along the lines of 1.7 in dead money after the 2017 league year. So there are things to move around, but like I said, you got to pay Calvin Pryor at some point.
But I think they're trying to put the best talent they can together, and they're not just skimming and going cheap, and they're not thinking this is their window either. They're giving themselves as many options as they can over the next 5 years.
Which is good, and something that we haven't seen before with general managers. Tannenbaum played to win in 2009 and 2010, and then made a bad decision before 11.
Paid for
Idzik,
it. Yeah.
Idzik gutted it. Bradway mismanaged the team and the roster and the coaching decision. It was just a mess overall, and this is the first time that I can remember in a long time, maybe since Parcells in 2000. When the Jets have a plan, and they have a plan for the future. Now, whether you trust that Christian Hackenberg is that future or not,
I do not.
That's fair. I don't think you're alone in that conversation. But the truth is that this year, Hackenberg is not the answer. Hackenberg is not going to play this year. If he does, something has gone horribly wrong. Of course, we don't know who is going to start at quarterback this year, whether it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick or whether it's going to be Geno Smith. And we have talked about the Ryan Fitzpatrick fiasco, however you want to call it, saga, tease, diet, whatever word you want to use for annoying thing that has gone on way too long and I wish would just go away, you can use it for this. So in order to talk about it, because we have to, camp is coming up in only about a week and a half, we found a bit of a funny way to get into it. We are going to rank the 10 most ridiculous storylines / leaks / media ploys / agent ploys of this entire saga in reverse order. So we'll start at 10 from the least ridiculous, and we'll end at number one at the most ridiculous. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, so let's get right into this then. Starting at number 10, I think some who are Geno stans would not think this is the least ridiculous thing that has been said all season, but coming from
Geno stans?
Oh, they're out there, Brian.
Geno stans, like stans, like fan, like yes. Eminem stans. Is that what we're talking about?
Okay. You can call them shippers. You can call it whatever term you want to use. They're out there. The cape, they're caping for Geno. There are plenty of Geno capes out there. The notion and the statement from the Jets that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starter when he re-signs, regardless of when he re-signs. That's pretty number 10.
Yeah, that's pretty unridiculous. I mean, I think we've seen enough of Geno Smith to know that Fitzpatrick, for all of his shortcomings, probably still better than Geno Smith.
Yeah.
But maybe not much better,
Maybe not much better, but I mean, when someone sets the franchise record for yards and touchdowns in a season and is coming off that, I find it hard to believe that he has to enter next season in a quarterback battle, unless you're drafting Cam Newton number one overall, you know what I mean? Unless you're drafting Jared Goff or Carson Wentz and you're investing in the future and now. All right, number nine, the contract leaks, the leaks from both sides, the Jets leaking the $12 million in year one, the Fitzpatrick's camp leaking the actual structure of the deal.
Yeah, the guarantees and the second year is not so good and right, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And it was just, you could work in there the Geno's camp or Fitzpatrick's camp talking about how they expected to be paid on the level of Brock Osweiler and Sam Bradford after their contracts earlier in the season. Look, Bradford and Osweiler, we've talked about this, are younger options, specifically Osweiler. Osweiler is a bet on the future as much as a bet in now. Ryan Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith, whoever starts this year, is always going to be a transition quarterback. So you're not going to invest in them past 1 year. They've already made their bed with Christian Hackenberg as the quarterback of the future. So whoever you are, you're only going to get a one-year deal. But that being said, it's wise of the Jets to want to have the option for next year to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick around in case they get through a year of Christian Hackenberg in practice and go, oh, dear Lord, this was a terrible decision.
Yeah, I've made a huge mistake. Right. I think the whole contract leaks thing, it was interesting. They were obviously using the press to kind of, fight the battle for them. And the best thing I thought about the whole thing was the hearts and minds of the fans were like, this is ridiculous. We're seeing right through this. So that was the best part about it. And that kind of quickly started to die down.
Yep. The next thing, number eight. Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan have ultimate faith in Geno Smith and are fully prepared to start him if necessary. We're starting to tend into
is this not ridiculous or ridiculous?
We're starting to trend into the ridiculous. Okay. On one hand, I don't think this is ridiculous because, again, I don't think that the difference between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith on the grand scale in Chan Gailey's scheme with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker and Matt Forte and Bilal Powell, I don't think it's that different.
And the proof of that argument is like Tyler Thigpen or whoever you want to say, right? Like if he can do this with Tyler Thigpen, then X. And so, right. I certainly think that when it comes to all the intangible stuff, Ryan Fitzpatrick gets it more. If I'm given the choice between the two, I know who I'm picking, but you're right. I don't think that it's this chasm, evil Knievel cannot jump this chasm. I don't think that.
Right. That said, this is both something the Jets have to say for public posturing. Like, they can't just sit there and not say, because there's, if they don't, then they have no leverage. In order to maintain leverage, they have to continue to maintain that they have faith in Geno Smith. That said, relating to number nine, or relating to number 10 in this list, Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter when he resigns. It's that simple. So we're starting to tend into the
trend ridiculous. We're trending ridiculous. Okay.
Speaking of which, we are on the spectrum of ridiculous. As we delve deeper into that spectrum, Ryan Fitzpatrick is no longer renting his apartment or his house.
Oh my gosh. It's on apartments.com. I'm going to go rent that place right now so that I can have his apartment. And what a smart decision. What a smart decision that he's renting, not buying. Good for him. Did you know he went to Harvard, Corey?
I did not. He's smart. That was number six. Number five. This is a bit of a recent story, and it wasn't really even a Jets story or anything, but it was the notion that was out there that the Patriots should sign Ryan Fitzpatrick to spite the Jets.
Oh, this is like the, remember when Tim Tebow or like Vernon Golston, or I don't know, these players were like out on the market. It's like, oh my God, the Patriots are going to sign this guy and he's going to be totally awesome. What have we done?
I mean, first of all, I get that's more a fact, by the way, that was number six, not number five. Patriots should sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. But it just speaks to the coda of Jets fans. That's something that could be tweeted or spoken about on a debate show or thrown into an article or posited on PTI, and Jets fans could go, oh crap, are they really going to do that?
Spin us out, right? That kind of stuff spins us out, absolutely. We're trending to like it's 2 a.m. and you're still up with your friends and you haven't drank or anything, but you're just starting to get a little silly. I see where we're going.
Number five. The OTA no-shows by Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall.
I mean, that – well, I certainly think there was a little bit of a coded message there. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's not mandatory. These guys are veterans. They always try and do everything they can to not show up to these things. So using the pretext of my quarterback isn't there and I'm going to, you know, solidarity, you know, be right with him. Yeah, I think that was pretty ridiculous.
I think this was when we issued the "we're no longer talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick" edict.
Yeah, it was about that time,
if I remember correctly. All right, number four, the more recent report, and I think this is something that's been coming out the last few weeks, the contract stalemate between Ryan Fitzpatrick and the New York Jets could last weeks into camp.
Oh, my. And and we should really be worried about this, because when was he named starter last summer? I'm trying to forget. And how did that turn out for the Jets? Turned out pretty well.
On one hand, look, you want your starting quarterback. I get that, but he was still in camp. You know, it's that, like, that's the thing. True. He was in camp. He was practicing. He was playing. He was studying with everyone. He was working with everyone. He just wasn't getting starters reps necessarily, because Geno was the presumed starter in the battle. Him not being in camp is not going to help matters. It's not going to help anyone.
Yeah, here's the only thing that worries me about that. It's just from a pure conditioning standpoint, right? We saw this when Darrell Revis held out, and then he came back, and I think it was like a hamstring.
It's more likely to get soft tissue injuries in Todd Bowles, as we saw last summer. Todd Bowles believes in putting these guys through the heat of August, early in the day, middle of the afternoon, because he thinks that it helps them get in better shape. It trains their bodies better. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick, I understand that he might not want to do that, and you're not going to run the same amount as if you're a quarterback versus if you're a cornerback, but it still only helps to have him there to do work, to be part of the team. And as much as I think Ryan Fitzpatrick could and will step in if he signs after, let's say, the first preseason game, I just, at some point, it's like, look, you're not going to get that much more money. So why are both sides doing this? Like, just find a middle ground. And I think that leads into our next one. That would assume that someone could get a hold of Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian, because apparently, according to Brandon Marshall, Ryan Fitzpatrick is no longer answering his text messages.
Oh my goodness. This is serious.
This is peak ridiculous. I
no
understand.
One? He's not answering anybody's text messages?
He's not answering Brandon Marshall's text messages.
Who is he answering?
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wow, Brian, I got a text from New Jersey number. Don't recognize it. It says, hey, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I agree with you. The new Power Rangers movie is going to be trash.
Is that what he said? And that's from a New said. Jersey number, are you sure it's not like a 617 Cambridge number?
No, no, no.
He went to Harvard. He did go to Harvard. Do
he did go to Harvard, but I just, hold on, let me text him back and ask. Hold on. Nope, Brian, he says that he doesn't believe, he gets a new number. He follows the Tom Brady school of phone management. And when he changes towns, he changes phones. And with the new phone comes a new number.
I still think it's for his side pieces. I think he's giving you his side piece number. That's what I think. But anyway, I mean, at least he's answering texts from somebody. I have you ever done that thing, Corey, where you turn off, like you go to bed and you put it on Do Not Disturb because your friends are idiots and they're texting you at like 3 a.m. And waking you up. Maybe he put it on Do Not Disturb and he just forgot that it's on Do Not Disturb or like airplane mode. Maybe he was on an airplane and he just put it on airplane mode and never took it off.
When I did come back from Europe, I could not get my phone to pick up a signal for literally 7 hours. So that's entirely possible. I don't know. Maybe he's in the mountains. Look, this story is absurdly ridiculous. The fact that this is a story now.
Do you think the fact that he doesn't have a contract has mean that he's basically like suspended his Verizon contract?
Are you asking me if Ryan Fitzpatrick has a pay per minute phone? Does Ryan Fitzpatrick have a burner? Is that what you're asking me?
He's got one of those. What's the Walmart brand? He's got one of those,
Lord.
I think.
Lord. All right. The number
service
two,
is bad on those.
Number two most ridiculous thing. Ryan Fitzpatrick is willing to take less money from other teams just to spite the Jets.
Hey, can you text him and see if that's true?
Oh, I wish I could. I just want this whole thing. I want to text Mike McCarthy. I want to get in a
text
group
text him
chat.
Right now. You said he just texted. You text him back. Ask him.
Let me ask.
It seems pretty well, you ask him. I think
you stall. You stall while I text him.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty ridiculous notion that he's trying to milk as much money out of the situation. He overplayed his hand with Denver and Houston and all these other teams, and now he's left with one team, and all he can do is sit and wait and hope that they bid against themselves, because who else is bidding?
Waiting for a response. Oh, there it is.
What he says?
He says, heart emoji, jet emoji, thumbs up emoji. Wait, I'm getting the...
Was it a green heart? Hold on, this is important. Was it a green heart?
It's a red heart.
Oh, geez.
He's typing more, though, so hold on.
It's Houston. It might be Houston. It might be San Francisco. Jeez.
He says, IDK, ZFG, money, ZFG. money sign.
Is it the flying dollar bill sign? That's important.
Yes. I don't know what to make of that, Brian, but I think we can only recover by moving on to our last one. I can't help but laugh at this because every time I read it, it's ridiculous. Ryan Fitzpatrick is willing to retire rather than play for what the Jets are offering him.
It's indignifying playing for multiple millions of dollars per year. It's really a blow to your ego when you've bilked a contract out of the Buffalo Bills, you know, that you had no business getting in the first place. I mean, what's he expected to do here? Make $7 million a year? Hello. I mean, what's Chase Daniels making? You can't make Chase Daniels money. Come on.
Okay, so on two things here. Number one, I am full team player.
Oh, you got another text. What do you say?
No, but seriously, I want to play football.
Oh, so it is ridiculous. This retirement threat is ridiculous, is what he's telling you.
I am fully on board with Ryan Fitzpatrick and every other player in the league trying to get every last cent that they possibly can.
Yeah, and out of a bunch of rich old white billionaires. Yes, I agree.
I understand that you can look at it and say, like you said, it's so hard to play for $8 million a year. I understand that. I get that side of it. But they're getting $8 million a year from a guy who's making, you know, $750 million this year. I don't know. I'm throwing that number out there. I don't know how much Woody Johnson is making in profit this year as the Jets, because it's a private business, so we don't get to see how much their actual books every year. But it's millionaires versus billionaires. And, you know, Woody Johnson is going to continue to collect money on this franchise for as long as he owns this team. Mm-hmm. Ryan Fitzpatrick, this is his last chance at a real contract, most likely. So I don't begrudge him trying to get as much as he can out of this. But he's also reached the point of there's no more to get out of this. And his agent has played him into a corner with all his ridiculous antics that we just listed for the last 10 minutes. So it's Ryan Fitzpatrick's agent's fault that this isn't done. It's the Jets have set a price for this. They set a price in March, what it was. That price was the same in April. It was the same in May. It was the same in June. It's the same in July. And I don't think that they're going to change it in August, regardless of whether Geno Smith looks bad in preseason. The difference is whether Mark Sanchez gets hurt in Denver, whether somebody gets hurt in a situation in Chicago or and a real starting position opens up elsewhere. That's the only way that anyone's leverage in this situation is going to change.
I agree. It has to be an unforeseen circumstance. But even in that case, I mean, what's his best option? Let's just say Teddy Bridgewater, has an injury in the preseason. He's not going to be able to play. What is a team like the Minnesota Vikings? I'm just pulling them out of the air, right? What are they going to pay for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I don't know.
Eight, nine? They're not going to pay him 17. They're not going to pay him Brock Osweiler.
And if the Jets are willing to give you $12 million in the first year, whether that's essentially a two-year, $14 million deal or along those lines, then just take it at this point. The Jets represent your best point, your best chance to succeed.
Yeah.
They represent the most comfortable position for you. You don't have to move your family. You already know the neighborhood. You know the team. You know the playbook.
You've got your apartment ready to go.
DonnaDepartments.com.
Yeah. So talk to Donna in the rental services office. She'll get you set up. It's fine. New apartment, same complex. Maybe it's a flipped. Maybe the floor plan is flipped, but it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be okay. And I just hope that
call
in 2 weeks
we
are not listing or text Donna. I just hope that in another 2 weeks that we are not listing the 10 most ridiculous reasons part two. I hope that we are slowly nearing the end of this. Regardless. As Brian said at the beginning of the show, camp is almost here. It's back in, I believe the Jets open next Friday, if I'm correct, the 29th or the 28th or the 29th, I believe they open camp is when rookies arrive and everyone arrives. Are you going to be in New Jersey, Brian?
I haven't even gotten that far. I would like to be.
Well, I unfortunately will not.
You never know.
I unfortunately will not, but Brian might be. But as I said, camp is opening up, which means the show is back. We'll be back next week with more Jets coverage, even though I will probably be out of the picture during the Rio Olympics. Brian will have shows. Brian will have guest hosts on. Maybe he'll do a show himself. But there will be continuous coverage of this team up until and through training camp. And then week one is not that far away. Maybe we'll do our unit previews all in one show next week to get into it before I have to disappear. Brian, I want to thank you for joining me. If you guys liked what you heard, make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at Brian_Bassett.
And you can follow Corey at Corey Griffin, NBC. NBC, home of the 2016 Rio Summer Olympic Games.
Oh, you're a good man, Brian. I appreciate that. And so do the bosses. So does Mark Lazarus, even though he has no idea what this show is or who we are. If you like this show and you do know what this show is and you do know who we are, make sure to go to iTunes and rate and review it and tell your friends to rate and review it. Tell them to subscribe. Tell them to push it. Tell them to tell their friends to tell their friends to tell their friends. And the more people that rate and review us, the more people that get to find the show. You can also find us on the SNY.TV audio network, where all SNY podcasts are. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for bearing with us in a bit of a long show. Keep calm. Jet on.
Green heart emoji. Call Donna. She needs to rent that apartment.
This has been the Jets Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.